It's Tip Tuesday on the Starters Club podcast, where we talk about the business details that no one else likes to talk about, but everyone needs to know.
This just got exciting.
And now, here's your host, Aaron Smith.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Starters Club podcast. Today, I have another very special guest for you all today. I have Rock Thomas, and Rock, you are a rock star in the entrepreneur world. Thank you so much for coming today.
Well, I'm excited to be here. I always love to talk about the pathway to the, you know, your first $1 million, which is the hardest one.
Absolutely. And you've such a great history. I cannot wait to chat with you. You went from real estate agent to billion, that's with a B, real estate agent. You're a best-selling author. You create seminars. You've got Rock Thomas International. You're the CVO of GoBundance. You've got this mastermind, which is M1, which is the March to Million. There's so much you've got going on. And I mean, it's incredible what you've achieved.
Well, thank you. I'm you put it that way, I'm excited to hear myself talk.
I know, when you hear all the listings, you're like, wait a minute, I am pretty awesome, I have to say. So, well, it's cool. We've got so much in common, and I love chatting real estate. I actually have a real estate background too, and I actually was a farm girl. So I love,
no way.
Yes, I know you're from Montreal. I'm actually from Wisconsin, grew up on a farm, tried and true, milk cows, all that good stuff. So I want to talk to you specifically, you know, being a farmer, there's obviously some entrepreneurship to the farming world, but not one that I was eager to jump into. Obviously you probably weren't either. So I want to hear a little bit about your story, how you go from, you know, the farm mentality, the kid, to saying, you know what, I want to be my own boss, and going, and I really want to get into your head of starting that first business.
Well, you know, I think you being a farm girl, you know that one of the things we learned was a good work ethic, right?
Amen to that, yes.
Yeah, and I think that that's the cornerstone to success in anything you do. The rest is going to be skills, talent, connections, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But my entrepreneurial muscle was born on the farm when we used to have all these city slickers come out and take riding lessons. We had a horsey farm. And the parents would be standing around watching their kids play. And I thought, why don't I start selling them something? So I created a little table and I got my parents' coffee machine, and they sold coffee. And then they were hungry. So I started making some hot dogs. And so I just started that way. And when I saw I could make money from kind of nothing, I got excited and went on and did, you know, drove taxis in Australia and modeling in Asia, and got my pilot's license before 16. And I mean, I was just always interested in growing and learning. And I teach today, one of the cornerstones of what I teach is say yes and figure it out later. And so many people are waiting till they have the perfect blueprint to take action. And it doesn't work that way. Jump off the cliff, grow your wings on the way down. That's the entrepreneurial spirit.
Yeah, I love it, because the perfect blueprint doesn't exist. So you're waiting for basically something that's never going to happen.
Exactly. And people wait and wait, ready, aim. And then, you know, as they say, is while you're making the plans, an entrepreneur is out there doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me a little bit about your real estate venture. So you decide you want to start selling real estate. It doesn't sound like you do average at all, just from pilot license at 16, doesn't know how you, you don't think of the word average, but when you started getting into real estate, what was, you know, some of your first ideas of why you wanted to get into that and then starting out there?
Yeah. So first of all, average is a dirty word for me. I don't like it. And it's a great way to motivate myself if somebody calls me average. But, I think that if you look at, you know, your life, my life, other people's lives, is, you know, people are always looking to be motivated or inspired. And it usually comes from one of two places. You're either inspired because you want to create something great, or you've had some incredible pain and you want to move away from it. So my father was sick with cancer in the early 90s, and I was working in the airlines, and I took time off to take care of him. And I came back to no job. I tried to sue the company for wrongful dismissal, ran out of money, was paying off my father's back taxes. And I thought, what greater time to get into something where I can make a lot of money quickly. So I got into real estate. unfortunately, I had no sales experience and I was crappy. I made one sale in the first year. And again, evicted from my apartment, moved back in with my mom, massive pain, and decided to hire a coach. And I hired two, one strategic to tell me how to do the sales piece. And I bought Tony Robbins' Personal Power and listened to it day and night in the car and learned how to motivate myself to consistent behavior. And that really is the tale of why I got into it. And then I went on to sell 100 homes a year, break every record, buy the company I worked for, hired 270 salespeople. We sold $1 billion a year of real estate, broke every record there, yada, yada, yada. But it's really that foundational piece that people, I think, can benefit from, because it's one step, one foot in front of the other that I did. Sure, I had momentum. Sure, I became a millionaire in 4 years after being mentored. Those are all the sexy parts. But people shouldn't get lost in that because they think I can't do it. I'm just a regular farm boy that took the next step and got the right mentors and kept on taking action. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I want to cover specifically, I love how you said you get into sales, you're horrible at sales. What were some of the key components you learned in, you know, obviously the Tony Robbins thing and the mastery of habit and all of that stuff. But when it came to sales specifically, what were some of the key components you learned and used to really transform your business?
Great question. It took me a while to learn it, but I learned that any business you're in, two businesses. One is in client acquisition, which most people don't like and aren't very good at it. And the other one is in the service end of it. And the service end is generally fairly easy. You could be a masseuse or you could run a restaurant, you can cook the food, but you have no business if you don't have the client. So what I became really good at was I became a hunter, and I spent a good piece of my time finding the customer and then handing them to people on my team that would service them. And when you have an abundance of customers, you're king. And that's really what I did, is I learned how to prospect and I developed a muscle on how to handle rejection. Well, everybody else is trying to run away from rejection and, oh, I don't want to be rejected. I don't want to cold call. I don't want to knock on doors. I'm like, screw it. Knock on doors in the middle of a snowstorm and people are going to turn their heads and go, what's the matter with this crazy guy? Or let him in because it's freezing cold out there and let's have a conversation. So that was really the thing, is be a lead generator extraordinaire. And the other part's easy, finding people to do the service end of it.
I love it. I love it. So I want to go into, you know, I know you teach people how to acquire their first million. And I think, like you said, it's the hardest, one of the hardest places to get to, because it's a complete mind shift change once you get there and just getting there. So for you, when you're building this business, you go from real estate agent to, I got to hire people to do the service part for me. You know, I've got to build a team. Where and how did that initial shift happen for you, money-wise, to all of a sudden say, I can do this, and you're gonna, you know, you got to your first million, and then obviously billion.
Well, I would say a couple of things. Number one, stay in curiosity. Number two, find the person who's getting the best results around you. If you can't go any bigger than that, you know, I hired Tony Robbins, $100,000 a year, totally changed my life. I wanted to play golf better. I hired Butch Harmon, who trained Tiger Woods, learned how to shoot 68. I wanted to be really good at real estate. I went to Remax, which was the number one company at the time. Now I've gone to Keller Williams, the number one company. So I'm always looking for number one. But the next best step is to find the person in your area. So if you want to be a really good salesperson, find the number one salesperson in your office, take them to lunch, pick their brain, model them, copy them, R&D, rip off and duplicate. Don't be creative. Just copy them. Until you get smart enough and experienced enough that you can put in your own special sauce. And that's all I did. So I just kept on looking at the most successful person. If they were in the office at 8 o'clock in the morning, I got in the office at 8 o'clock in the morning. If they were in the office at 10 o'clock at night, I stayed in the office at 10 o'clock at night. It wasn't complicated. I'm actually probably not bright enough to have come up with my own ideas. So I just copied successful people. Most people are like always looking to avoid pain. They're all, I'll market it. I'll be that smart guy on the internet. I'll sit in front of my computer for 4 hours a day and avoid pain of rejection, avoid pain of hard work. I mean, in life, you've got to choose your pain. You can choose the pain of a mediocre life and suffer and you can't go out for a nice dinner on Friday night, or choose the pain of being a badass entrepreneur an amazing student and somebody that's going to prospect day and night. So you have so many clients that you can go out to any restaurant you want and you can fly business class wherever you want, whenever you want. And those are the types of pain that I chose so I could live the life that most people don't get to live.
I love it. I think it's great. And I love the, you know, following somebody in their footsteps. How, and I like what you said, like copy until you can do your own thing. I think though it is important that you're, when you're creating a business or something, you are keeping your own identity. And I'm imagining you did that too. Like you put your own spin on things, right? Like it wasn't you couldn't tell the difference between your competitor, you know, the top sales company versus your company. So how did you continue to keep your own spin on it while you still followed a lot of these people you really looked up to?
Yeah, so Aaron, that's a great question and a great distinction, actually. Think of a little kid who's playing hockey or basketball, and what they do is they dribble the ball down. They're like, oh, it's Michael Jordan. He's up. He shoots. He scores. Or, you know, and so we embody a personality, but then we have to bring in our own body size, personality, tonality of voice, etc. So you're 100% right, is take the mechanics of what they're doing, the habits of what they're doing, and then you bring your own personality into it and your methodology. And that's why you need really several mentors, because you're only going to resonate with parts of some and parts of others. So I continue to read 50 to 100 books a year. I'm always looking for distinctions. I just picked up something from Tim Ferriss that I brought into one of my businesses where we mentor millionaires or mentor entrepreneurs to make their first million. And it was just one idea after reading a whole book. And that's how you build your own, you know, your own process. The march to a million came from me working with Tony Robbins, working with T. Harv Eker from Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, and, you know, a whole bunch of other mentors. And I put together this program that allows people to, in a unit, in a group, online with technology today, stay connected, have accountability partners, but access the wisdom of multimillionaires that they normally wouldn't have access to in a forum online and live with them as well as they create what we call horizontal or passive income so they can live a legendary life.
Sounds amazing. I want to cover mentorship too for a minute because, you know, this podcast, you know, our listeners, they're specifically in the starting phase. And a lot of times it can be intimidating, you know, I mean, it's, you know, they hear it, wow, you got Tony Robbins, that's awesome. But I love how you said, you know, invite some of the people locally who are doing some amazing things, take them out to lunch. Is it that simple? Are there other tips or tricks you have for finding great mentors and helping you when you're first starting out?
Well, it is that simple if you're open and you're a really good learner. So I wrote a book called The Power of Your Identity because I learned from Tony, actually, I think it was, that the strongest force is your desire to remain consistent with the labels you've been given. I am lazy. I am a procrastinator. I am shy. We live those out. The problem is most of them are given to us as a child, when we were children, and they're not empowering. It's rare that you only surround yourself with people that say, you're awesome, you're amazing, you're beautiful, you're smart, you're funny, you're clever, you're energetic, you're always on top of things. If that happened, we would probably live into that, but it doesn't. So we live into these negative behaviors. And what a mentor does is a mentor is comfortable with your potential and your future. So if you hang around me, I guarantee you, I will constantly remind you of what you want to move toward and celebrate when you do things the way you want to. So that's amazing. You got up and you worked out this morning. Man, high five. That's great. Most people, 90% of people don't work out. Good job. And you're going to then be activated to repeat the same thing. So a mentor does three things. They remind you of your potential and they encourage you and celebrate with you. And they dig you into that piece of belief. Number two is they course correct constantly, the same way you do with a child in teaching them to brush their teeth or tie their shoelaces. It's just that it gets a little bit more in depth when you're opening a business to have somebody course correction along the way that saves you thousands of dollars with one decision, saves you tens of thousands with a good hire or a bad hire. And finally, you end up feeling more productive because you're not so disappointed with all these heart-wrenching mistakes you're making because you just didn't know. And the third thing a mentor gives you is a network, access to a network. So my first millionaire, I met at 30, and 4 years later, I became a millionaire. because he did all those things for me, but he also introduced me to the right bank people, to the right notaries, to the right people that were going to teach in my offices, and therefore I was able to have accelerated success. So you've got to get a mentor in your life if you want accelerated success, or just go the other way. Experience is the slowest teacher, and most people don't have the courage to say, hey, I want to be mentored. So they try to figure it out on their own, and they take a long time, and they get frustrated, and rather than getting better, they get bitter, yada, yada, yada.
Okay. I love it. All right. So it makes, I think your definition of a mentor is probably one of the best I've ever heard. So thank you for that. Because there's a lot of like blending between coaches, mentors, etc. Let me ask you this too. First mentor, did you pay him or did you just take him to lunch every now and then, talk about what was going on?
So interesting is I worked for him in the real estate office. I was one of his salespeople. And we went golfing on a trip together, and we all pooled our expenses, so he didn't pay. But he, you know, a mentor will have an eye for talent. And I'm always looking for talent because I have, you know, 15 different streams of income, literally, and I'm always looking for people to add to my team to drive those businesses further and farther. So he saw me, and I prepaid my bill 6 months in advance. He saw my work ethic. He saw how I showed up, and he says, this guy's a winner. I'm going to sell them the company. So he took me under his wing because when you mentor somebody that's enthusiastic and excited and coachable, it's very gratifying. It's like raising a child or giving birth to something. When you mentor somebody who's just wants your time and attention, but not your wisdom, you know, I did that at the beginning, but I don't do that anymore. I can recognize it and see, I'm going to drag them to the finish line. No, not interested. So he saw the talent in me. No, I didn't pay him. He received a dividend in the fact that he sold me a business. I paid him off, paid him well, and he was able to move to a next phase of his life.
Very cool. I love it. I actually did that with one of my own businesses, pulled somebody in, mentored them, and sold it. So I love it.
You see?
Yeah. I want to talk because it sounds like you've got this down pat, and I love talking about hiring, positioning yourself. You've got it down to an art of working yourself out of a job. Like you said, you've got all these passive streams of income. So can you give some tips of how you've done that well, putting the right people in place, finding those right people, and then slowly kind of working your way out of having to be in the day in and details of work?
Sure. I love the way you said that because it's a phrase I use all the time is work myself out of a job. So whenever I create something, I always create it with the intention of leaving it for somebody else to do. And I use a theory, you know, I was taught was me, we, they. So first, I do it in front of the person who's going to replace me, whether it's answering the phone, sweeping the floor, whatever it is, doing a presentation, is I do it with my protege watching me taking notes. Then I give them pieces of it. So I might say, hey, why don't you do the introduction here and welcome everybody to the seminar? And they get to do a 2-minute. They rehearse in front of me. I give them feedback. They've got it. They're confident. They go up and they do it. So if it's an hour presentation, they get to do little pieces. They get to do the open, the close, or a middle piece or whatever. So it's me and we. That's us together with me giving them feedback. And then finally, once I'm confident that they can do it, I let them do it. The thing that people don't do properly, and I didn't do this at the beginning either, is they don't train them properly. They go, I'm overwhelmed. I'm busy. I need somebody to answer the phone, or I need somebody to do this paperwork. Here, do this paperwork. Get this done for me. Or just answer the phone and then take that away from me. The person makes a lot of mistakes, gets frustrated, gets overwhelmed, goes into fear, feels crappy. And then the other person gets upset, takes the work back, and they never delegate and grow properly. So I've learned how to do it. I'm much better at it. I still have lots of room for improvement. But that's the process that will change your life. Each entrepreneur is one great hire from changing their life.
It's so true. When you get that right person in, it's life becomes so much easier. I love it. I want to ask you this too, because you've got, I'm just curious. This is a complete curiosity question. You've got so much you've accomplished. I mean, and you are just keep growing, keep doing, keep changing. What's one thing you're probably most proud of at this point in your life?
Get a little choked up saying it. My kids. I have three amazing kids, 20, 21, and 23. They all work for me in one shape, form, or another, and also have other businesses. I've never seen three kids that never cut each other down. They always encourage each other. They always support each other. They always celebrate each other's wins. All three of them are healthy. All three of them are givers and kind-hearted. Yet they're not going to be walked over. Two of them are models. One of them is a receptionist in my office and hairdresser. One's a salesperson, and the other one is, does some entrepreneurial stuff on the side. So, you know, I think that for me, I'm proud of that, and I say that because the labels you get in life come often from your parents. So they've received labels, I think, that have empowered them. And I think the unsung work is raising people that are not a drain on society. My father always said to me, if you want to help the economy, don't be one of the broke. And if you want to help the medical system, don't be one of the sick. So I've tried to instill that in my children, and I think they've done a great job at honoring that.
I love it. As a parent of a 2 and 3 year old, music to my ears, because that's exactly what I want. I want kids who stand up for themselves, but don't put others down. And, you know, obviously growing up the way we grew up, you want a hardworking kid. And I've always worried about that. Without having a farm, how do I, instill this hard work ethic that I've had into my kids? You know what I'm saying?
For sure. And I think it's by example, and you're probably doing that.
Awesome. Well, I love it. Rock, I want to give you an opportunity to let people know how to find you. I love the idea of the March to a Million. I think it's a great concept. I know you've got a lot of other things going on. Where, if somebody wanted to learn more, connect with you, can they go?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the 1.5% of the population have figured out how to get to $1 million and keep that net worth in North America, which is just a crying shame to me. So what I am passionate about is taking success principles and defying the odds and demonstrating to people that no matter where you came from, you can also have the financial freedom and live the life of your dreams, literally. And I know a lot of people have given up on it, but I want to remind those people, don't. It is possible. If I did it, certainly you can do it. And it's not that I haven't had some setbacks along the way. I had a deal go south for $1.6 million about 18 months ago, made it all back. But the first million is the hardest. So I studied people, and I watched even people go to Tony Robbins events and different great speakers and come back, and their life didn't change that much. And the reason is you will rise and fall to the level of your accountability or your peer group. So I've created an environment that shields you from that, where we nurture you along the way, and where we've had people have incredibly fast results and are very excited about being part of that group. So it's inside the M1, that's M1.com, inside the M1.com. They can email me directly at rock@rockthomas.com. They can Facebook friend me at Rock Thomas. I'm accessible. My team is accessible. And if you truly want to take your life to the next level, you're hungry, you're just looking for a better strategy, reach out to us. And, you know, we make that happen.
Awesome. And of course, all that information is going to be on the notes page over at thestartersclub.com. So, Rock, thank you so much for taking this time today. Incredible insight. Thank you so much. You've done amazing things, and I appreciate you taking the time just to give us truly great nuggets of knowledge.
Well, Aaron, you know, really great questions. So thanks for directing me that way. I really appreciate it. And it's always easy and exciting for me to talk about what I'm passionate about. So, you know, pleasure to be on your show.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Cheers. Thanks for listening to Tip Tuesday on the Starters Club podcast, where we talk about the business details that no one else likes to talk about, but everyone needs to know. See you next time on the Starters Club podcast.